views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
Yes, you are. Tuesday, November 4th, 2014, third annual Election Day broadcast, 102nd show since being in the YNTS studio. Currently airing on Itcher Radio, Route 1 Radio, Best After Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230 a little later, and audio graded 24-7 very soon on iTunes, Podomatic, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio. More info, www.yoandrewnts.com. Our new number you can call, 646-684-9929. Tweet me at AndrewTweetGeo. Email yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. Thank you for sharing election night with me. Third time, as always. Remember, we saw it Tuesdays a long time ago. Tonight, Mitch McConnell is walking in. You heard on NPR, going to be congressman for, well, for a little bit longer. You know, it's funny. I was just live on WBOQ AM 1230. I was joined with their local team going through some of national news and even locally in Rhode Island. And one thing I didn't ask for, that's term limits. I want congressional term limits. Even though our forefathers never wished for term limits, because we abused our rights for so long, we have to cut them loose. We have to take their right away until they actually learn their lesson. But sadly enough, we haven't seen that, and we probably won't. But there's so many elections going on tonight. There are many around the country, and even though we're seeing live results coming in, and in the next segment we're going to go through some of those as they come in, what are some of the elections that are important? What are some that you should be following? And where's the President of the United States tonight? All of these questions are now going to be answered. And we're so glad that he's able to join us once again. He's one of our good friends. He's an associate editor at TheWeek.com, covering politics, sports, and other things he finds interesting. He has previously written for Talking Points Memo, Raw Story, and Business Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at John Turbush. John is on my phone line. John, thanks for being with us. I know it's busy. Welcome to the program. It starts off.
Thanks for having me.
John, I know it's going to be a busy night for you, and I know you told me earlier that you got your coffee and you're all ready to go, but hopefully you can stay awake for a few minutes to speak with us. My first question I want to ask you, what are some important races my audience should be following as the election night rolls on?
Sure. So Republicans need a net pickup of 6 seats to flip the Senate. Most election forecasters are saying they have about a 75% chance of doing that. And there's really 8 races that this comes down to. And those are Alaska, Colorado, Iowa, Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, New Hampshire, and North Carolina. There's varying degrees of who we think is going to win in each one. I'd say the biggest ones that I would say to look for in there, New Hampshire and North Carolina are ones that have been favoring the Democratic candidates. And they both have early closing times. I think New Hampshire is 8, North Carolina 7:30. If those go Republican, and it seems that way very early on, it's probably going to be a terrible night for Democrats across the board. Those are sort of the bellwethers that we've got this time around. Basically, if Republicans can compete there, they're going to be competing everywhere. The next batch, Colorado and Iowa, both have been trending toward the Republican candidate. If those go toward the Republicans, same thing, those are considered the big swing states in this election. If those go Republican, that should almost certainly put them over the top, just based on how everything else will follow. Just give the Republicans too many seats that they can essentially afford to lose most of the other toss-ups and still come away with a majority. But the two that I think are the most interesting to watch tonight are Georgia and Louisiana. Both of those are three-way races, and if no candidate gets 50% or more, they're going to runoff. So there's a strong chance that we won't actually know by the end of tonight who controls the Senate, because there could be a runoff in December and another runoff in January that will decide who emerges with a majority.
So you write for The Week, and there's going to be so many different outlets as we speak going off and trying to grab you, an audience member, to watch their content. What is The Week going to do? What are you guys doing to report on these results as they come in? I know you already shared that some results might not come till morning, but has some of the results that are easy to count, a sweep in one race, close in another race, what are you guys doing to report this new information to your audience? It's coming so fast. How are you doing it?
We actually have a great feature on our site. It's a sort of rapid-fire blog called Speed Read. We'll be reporting all the results as they come in through that. We'll be waiting for the big people to call it. AP is obviously the big one that if they call something, we're going to try to find confirmation elsewhere. But once we know who's on a race, we can just very quickly say, here's who won, here's the projected outcome. Don't need to get too in-depth about individual races, so we can just do those very quickly as they come in. And then we're also going to be covering in greater detail what the impact of certain races is, the impact of what it looks like if Republicans are taking the Senate, if they're not taking the Senate. We'll be doing that in longer features throughout the night. But the big minute-by-minute news we'll be covering as it happens on our Speed Reads blog. So people can follow that on Twitter. It's just at Speed Reads.
So is Twitter helping you guys also? Twitter, that once was a simple social network, now it gives breaking news faster than CNN and Fox. Is Twitter helping you guys? And if Twitter is, how are you guys using Twitter to be able to find results in such a quick fashion?
I guess we'll be having TVs on, and we can see what the networks are covering and what they say is coming in. Twitter is just the quickest and easiest way that as soon as something happens, a political reporter or the network or the wire service will throw it up online immediately, and we'll have all of our eyes on there. So imagine that's where we'll be getting most of our election calls from, as soon as the AP or someone else says, say, for example, New Hampshire goes to X candidate, we'll pull from that and go.
Right now we are speaking with John Turbush. He is an associate editor at TheWeek.com. He covers politics, sports, and other things he finds interesting. He has previously written for Talking Points Memo, Raw Story, and Business Insider. I think this is going to be an interesting question. And what I try to do as a radio host is give out information that no one's rarely talking about, but I guess it's a long shot. We saw 2000. It was a presidential election, very large election, and we saw a glitch in the system, or we saw people still counting. And you remember, like everyone else who's a political junkie, Bush won, but Gore should have won. It was a whole thing. Do you believe that a glitch, now, and again, it's 2014, you got identity theft, you got breaches at Target and Home Depot and other places. Do you think that a glitch or a security breach could occur in the system, and that might create chaos when counting these votes in these different races throughout the country? Is it possible?
I think it's highly unlikely. I think states, after seeing the debacle in 2000, they worked very hard to overhaul their election systems. in their security checks and their recount processes and everything. So I think they're much better prepared to stave off any of that happening in the first place and to deal with it if it does come up. And I think the reports of voter fraud and that sort of thing are also just a little bit overblown. We've seen a lot of talk about voter ID laws, but there hasn't been much proof about widespread voter fraud. The bigger thing that could come up is just elections going to recounts, but there are several states that look like they're going to come right down the wire, and we probably won't have a final tally until morning. So I know off the top of my head, like North Carolina, if the election comes down to, or if the difference in the votes is less than 0.5% or 10,000 votes, whichever is smaller, it triggers an automatic recount. So there are processes in place if there is some kind of confusion to make sure that the result is tabulated correctly.
When we see new congressmen become elected or existing ones become elected, it's not like elementary school. You don't just win and the next day you begin your serve in that position. You have to wait till January when you're now in. Here's your seat. Now you can start making laws. What could we see from those who might get, knocked out of their seats, but they still have time left before January? What might we see from those in the remaining weeks from the current House and Senate?
In one word, nothing. This has been the least productive Congress in history. At least it was through the end of last year. I believe off the top of my head that it's still the least productive, just based on the fact that there's so much discord between the House and the Senate that if the House wants to do something, the Senate doesn't, and vice versa. So it's just been nothing getting to the president's desk. That's why he's been talking about taking executive action on immigration and the minimum wage and anything else that he has the power to do. So certainly between the time that the polls close and the time that the new Congress is set early next year, almost nothing is going to get done, if anything at all. And then the same will probably be true into next year. Again, we're expecting Republicans will take the Senate, and they in the House will be able to try and pass measures. They've been talking about doing a very quick Obamacare repeal. But again, any of that that goes to the president's desk, he's likely going to veto immediately. So we're probably in for more dysfunction, more discord, and no productivity for the next few years.
And that's what we don't want to hear. Some of us believe that our votes might count, but sadly, it might have just been just an activity on November 4th. We're speaking with John Turbert. She is an associate editor at TheWeek.com, covering politics, sports, and other things he finds interesting. Previously written for Talking Points Memo, Raw Story, and Business Insider. Throughout election night, you can follow him on Twitter at John Turbush, JonTerBusha. So while you and me are speaking on election night, we're having a fun conversation. You got your coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I do have water. The president of the United States is probably keeping track of this election like everyone else. It's entertaining. To some of us, it's a holiday. Do we have any confirmation on where the president and his administration will be tonight, or there's no plans for them?
As far as I know, the last plan they had was just to be watching from the White House, same as all of us. Just they have better seats for it, I guess. But he did spend some time today promoting candidates last minute, and he called into a Connecticut radio station. He cut an ad last minute for Charlie Crist, the Democratic candidate for governor in Florida. But otherwise, he's just going to be sitting on the sidelines waiting for the results to come in, and then they're going to react to whatever happens.
And the president has the right to do that. It's really interesting, John, because I read on Mashable, and Mashable does write some pretty nice pieces. They wrote a piece, five people that have such a big impact in the election, in the midterm election, but are not actually running. And the president was number three on that list. And he was right next to the Koch brothers. And he was right even next to Michael Bloomberg, former mayor. because those type of men bring so much money to these elections, but they're not running. And the president was one of them. Before we let you go, I know you have a busy night ahead of you. You did write an article, and we do love your articles, and we do have to promote it, and we have to speak about it on the program real quick. You wrote a piece this morning called "The Silver Lining for Democrats in 2014 Governor's Races." Republicans may take the Senate, but they're expected to suffer some high-profile losses at the state level. And in your article, you mentioned 36 gubernatorial races this midterm cycle. What are gubernatorial races, and how might this affect the Republicans trying to win back the Senate and keep the House?
Yeah, so gubernatorial races is just the races for governor in the individual state. As you said, there's 36 up for election this year, and there's a high degree of uncertainty. There are 14 that have been considered toss-ups, and the reason that is in play for Republicans this year is just based on simple math. Democrats had a lot more territory to defend because 6 years ago they had a great election. They picked up some seats from Republicans. They held on to other ones where they had vulnerable voters. So come this year, they just have so much more territory to defend. It's a good election cycle for Republicans, so that's why we're probably going to see the GOP flip the Senate. The opposite is actually true in individual states, where in 2010, as you remember, there was the big shellacking where Democrats lost, I think it was 63 seats in the House. It was a very humbling moment for them, and they lost a bunch of governor's mansions. So come this year, of those 14 toss-up races, there are 10 with incumbent governors. 7 of those incumbents are Republicans. So essentially, Democrats have a lot more states where they can go on offense, try to win back those houses, or win back those governor's mansions, excuse me. It probably won't have much of an effect on the House and the Senate this year. The big thing that it could impact is 2016. The governor has a lot of control over the voting mechanisms in a given state and the get-out-the-vote operations of his party. So having more Democratic governors would be good news for the Democrats, and so they would certainly want going into 2016. There are also a couple of interesting angles to the Republican side of things. So in Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker is facing a dicey re-election. He's considered one of the top candidates on the Republican side. He has a lot of support from the GOP establishment. He's also known, as soon as he got into office in 2010, he pushed through a big union-busting bill, and he's sort of seen as the figurehead for Republican policy, and so Republicans are watching this race very closely, seeing if he can win re-election after implementing a very conservative agenda. It will embolden other Republican governors, other Republican lawmakers to try and do the same thing, thinking, essentially, if this works there and he won re-election, we can do the same thing and the voters will back us. If he loses re-election, it pretty much wipes him out as a 2016 candidate. The other interesting angle is Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, is also the head of the Republican Governors Association, and he's been touring the country promoting all of their candidates. His job right now is to get as many of them elected as possible. If Republicans have a terrible night, he might get a lot of the blame for that, and then that could also sour his prospects of running in 2016. He's already been a bit wounded from the whole Bridgegate scandal. If establishment Republicans think that he doesn't have what it takes to run a national campaign after seeing how they do tonight in the governor's races, he might not get as much support as he otherwise would in 2016.
Right now, we're speaking with John Turbush. He is an associate editor at TheWeek.com, covering politics, sports, and other things he finds interesting. Previously written for Talking Points Memo, Raw Story, and Business Insider. Follow him throughout election night on Twitter at John Turbush, JONTRBUSH. John, thanks for coming on. I know it's a busy night ahead of you, but thanks for all that input, and we hope we can take that with us, and we'll see what happens. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on to talk to you.
John, have a good one. Have a great election night. Enjoy.
Yeah, you too.
And right now, when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Yes, we are. And what is the question? Did you vote Republican or did you vote Democrat? And what was your reason why? Don't leave it behind. Call Yo Andrew. That's me right now at 646-564-9929.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrewnts.com/interviews.
There's a rule of thumb that the customer always comes first. But somehow with banks, the customer always comes second or third. But at Capital One, we're different. We believe that you come first. Shocking, no? So our 360 checking has things like no fees and no minimum balances, fee-free ATMs nationwide. It even pays interest. What are we thinking? Well, about you. 360 checking from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Visit CapitalOne360.com to learn more. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC.
And now another smash hit from Flo. Progressive Mobile is always with you, like an invisible friend named Mary Jo.
With Progressive Mobile, you can buy and manage a policy from your phone. Yeah, it goes wherever you go, like an invisible friend named Mary Jo. Ooh, yeah, well, don't call her Mary, don't call her Jo. Her name is Mary Jo, and she's invisible.
Progressive Mobile. Insurance made easy. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
At Walgreens, we know the best time for a cold is never. That's why we're right around the corner to help you get the right relief right away. Like Mucinex Fast Max, the powerful relief from your worst cold and flu symptoms. So when there's no time for a cold, swing by Walgreens to get in, out, and feeling better fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
I tried everything. The weight pills, the gym subscriptions, monthly weight programs. Nothing worked for me and my body. Then a friend came up to me with a DVD. She said it's Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program, an indoor walk at home program used in thousands of homes for over 25 years. The only thing I needed was a DVD player and a pair of walking shoes. So I put in the DVD and began walking. It was amazing how easy it was, and I had control over the workout. After doing her simple mile or 2 mile workout 3 times a week for just 30 minutes a day, I saw the weight being lost for the first time. And now I feel great because I walked away the pounds with Leslie. You can purchase many easy walking workouts by visiting walkathome.com or call toll free at 888-890-8805. That's 888-890-8805. Be a part of the walking movement by following Leslie on Twitter at LeslieWalks or Facebook.com/LeslieSansone. Do what I did. Walk away the pounds with Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program.
Tweeting is not a new trend. How about Tweet Yo Andrew on the air and off the air at Andrew Tweet Geo.
It's amazing how the world has changed in just several years, especially how we try to figure out who someone is. I know how it is. I'm a radio host, an entrepreneur, and my goal every day is to inform people, but also tell them a little bit about me. Before they go on this program or before they even listen, the first place they want to go to is your website. And that's why we have www.yoandrewnts.com. We made it so simple to navigate and so easy to look at from your mobile device or from your laptop or tablet. You'll be able to hear who we are, read what we've done the past few years, and even listen to interviews, and you can download it right to your phone or computer and listen anytime you want. That's our gift to you. So what are you waiting for? www.yoandrewnts.com is active from about anywhere, and you're able to view, listen, and be a part of the program today.
He always wanted to be a Rush Hour Renegade.
Hello, San Francisco. We're the Rush Hour Renegades. I'm Joey Gladstone. This is my partner, Jesse Katsopoulos. Say hi, Jess.
24 years later? settles for Yo Andrew.
Rush Hour Renegades! Coming at ya!
Hug in the middle with you. I always wanted to play this song. I just hug in the middle. You know, I'm not used to playing a guest to top the hour, but John's a great guy, and he definitely gave us places we should be looking at. And we just got Kentucky in, where my uncle lives, and Senator Mitch McConnell is delivering his victory speech as we speak. Now, what's amazing is how each broadcast comes out and reports on this. Fox News right now, we have right in front of us Mitch McConnell speaking. You then look at CNN, well, they're just looking at their whole team. You look at ABC, well, they have a guest that they're speaking to. So it's amazing how Fox News, who knows that their audience tends to be very far to the right Republican conservatives, they know they want to see Mitch McConnell. Where CNN, they're trying to get a little bit of everything. And yeah, ABC News, well, they're just showing the bottom. But you see Mitch McConnell, 56% against Grimm's, 41%. And that is one of the big wins so far tonight for the Republicans trying to take back the Senate. We definitely want your calls, and right now we're trying out our phone lines here. 646-564-9929. 646-564-9929 if you have any input. Oh, but the question we really want to ask you tonight is, what party are you voting for? Is it Republican? Is it Democrat? And your reason why? That's all I want. Did you go R? Did you go D? I'll even accept I's and G's. Why did you do it? Now, I want to bring on my phone screener, Howard. Pray to the Lord that we can hear him fine. This is a test. But we're going to bring on Howard. Now, we're going to ask Howard. Did you go D or did you go R? Howard Forrest. Let's see if we can hear him. Howard, can you hear me? Wait, you know what? I know why. Can't I? Let's see if I can get Howard here. Now we go. Howard.
What's up, Andrew?
Howard.
What's up, Andrew?
There you go. Perp. And you can hear me fine?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, Howard, the question we're asking all of our audience, and you can call us up right now on it, or you can even tweet us, Facebook. Today, well, did you vote today? Because I know you have work all day, and then you have to go home.
Yes, I did vote today.
So, did you go D, or did you go R, and why?
Well, I am a registered Democrat. I went a couple of D's, but then I went some conservative. And I just closed my eyes on some and just pointed and picked.
Now, you live in Brooklyn, so you were voting for state senators and assemblymen who are based in districts in the Brooklyn area compared to me here in the studio. We're in Staten Island, so we had a kind of a different ballot. But when it came to governors, we both had to vote for him.
Yes, that is true.
So what do you think of the election, Howard? Did you think you saw a big turnout or not so much? See, Howard.
When I went, it was around, I think a little after 1 o'clock, about 1:30. So where I voted, where I'm at in Garrison Beach, it didn't seem like there was a big turnout. I think a lot of people just look at this election and they don't feel like they can make a difference in governor. I didn't even know it was a governor's race until I got to the election booth. But I just don't think a lot of people feel like their vote counts anymore.
And it's so funny that you mentioned that. Thanks, Howard, for the input, as always. It's great that Howard mentioned that, because when I was talking to myself, and I tend to do that sometimes, not saying that that's a problem or not, I was saying to myself, because we're in the New York area, does half these Americans even know that the governor is running? That, believe it or not, the governor has a really important role in this race. The governor has an important role for 2016 if he jumps into it or if he jumps on the Democratic side. You see Governor Christie, for example. Now, I'm not saying, no, he's not running. What I'm saying is he has a huge role. He's in the Republican committee in New Jersey. He's got a huge role. If things go wrong, it's going to go on his head. What I'm trying to say is governors have actually a real important role. And when you see 36 incumbents going up for re-election, well, sorry, I didn't mean incumbent, 36 governor elections going off is important. And I like how Howard also said I did a little bit of R and I did a little bit of D. And I like how he said that because I also did a little bit of R and I also did a little bit of D. Why did I do a little bit of R and why did I do a little bit of D? I did it because, well, it's also the views and how these politicians would handle themselves in very large issues and situations. So I didn't really look at D and R so much. But also, you need a little bit of D in the New York State Assembly and Senate. And you do need a little bit of D and a little bit of R in Congress. Now, I was walking home, getting in my doorway, and I see this in my door. Now, this was not here when I left my house. When I walked back in, I saw this. And it's one of those, how do you say it? Pamphlets? It says, tough times require proven leadership. Michael Grimm, congressman, Andrew Lanza, state senator, Joe Borelli, assemblyman, and then you got Rob Osterine. Okay, sorry. So you got Michael Grimm, Andrew Lanza, and Joe Borelli. What do all these three guys stand for? Republican. And Andrew Lanza running for state senator. Here in New York, Republican. Joe Borelli running for assemblyman, Republican. Michael Grimm, congressman, Republican. Now, what is on the bottom? You have Rob Astorino for governor. Chris Moss, lieutenant governor. Comptroller, Bob Adonasi. And then you have Michael Grimm, Andrew Lanza, and Joe Borelli again on the back. Now, it's shaped more like one of those papers you're here in New York where you bubble in, this is who I'm going to vote for. Now, what do all these guys stand for? Republican. Now, it says, tough times require proven leadership, vote November 4th. Paid for by the New York Republican State Committee. So now you have someone out there who came to my door, took this pamphlet, slipped it right in my doorway, and said, we want you to vote all Republican, all R. Now, what happens if everyone did that? What happens if everyone decided to go R? I'm going to go R today. You know, the Republican committee told me to. I'm going to go R. What will happen? You'll have full flounder of Republicans. All on the same issue. All agreeing on the same, all what they believe is best for America. Now, the same can go for Democrats. I'm not going to leave Democrats out of this this conversation. You have the Democrats now. They, well, here you go. I want you to vote for Andrew Cuomo for governor, and I want you to vote for the Democrat who's running for state assemblyman, and the Democrat is running for state senator, even though state assemblyman was Joe Borelli. He really didn't have anyone going around him. Is that good? Is that what we want? No. We want bipartisanship. We want the best person, the smart choice for election. I was just on AM WBOQ 1230 before, and when Chris at WBOQ told me, Andrew, what's your final word? I said to the audience who is there in Rhode Island voting for governor and voting for many different ballots, very many different laws, make the smart choice. Republican and Democrat are there to split up issues. They're there to create bipartisan support. But by the end of the day, you got to kind of excuse the letters and bring on the issues that are important and really look at who they are as a man and as a woman. By going and voting a bunch of R's is not going to change anything. By going and voting for every Republican congressman you were able to go in your community, it's not going to change anything. If you're able to vote for smart Republicans and smart Democrats who may have different issues but can come together and create common sense legislation on a variety of issues, what's wrong with that? There's nothing. Putting this pamphlet on my door that I will now rip up here in the studio, ripping right up because I don't want it. You can come up to me and tell me that I should vote for every Republican because I'm a Republican. Or a Democrat should come up to me and give me a pamphlet and tell me to vote for every Democrat because I'm a registered Democrat. How about you send me a pamphlet of who will be on the ballot? Send me a pamphlet of how I'm able to vote properly. Send me a ballot of who is the smart choices. Send me a ballot of why I should vote and why I should not consider not voting only because I've lost trust in my government. What many Americans are thinking, why? I am getting so fed up. What are you going to tell me now? You're being biased? Not being biased. Everyone agrees. We see many polls that Americans do not agree with what they're seeing in office. They're getting pissed off. And many people today probably, you know what, I would have voted, but I decided not to. Now, do I blame Howard? Makes a great point. I didn't know there was a governor election. Now, Howard is into sports. He doesn't really follow politics as much, but he's informed. I see it. Listens to the show every week. I give that enough credit. Why doesn't Howard, though? You know, he's into sports. He's into the World Series with the Royals and the Giants. And sadly enough, the Giants won. The Yankees, they're going to be coming up sooner or later. A-Rod's coming back. That's what Howard's interested in. Like many other Americans, is interested in. Yet when voting comes around and he knows that he's got a job, that he knows that he's trying to fight for something at his job, he's trying to help a worker, trying to help a neighbor, and he knows that the laws need to help him go about and do that. For him to go in and not know because we're not being properly informed in our own local community, that's a problem. That's a very big problem. And for you to come up to the pamphlet and say, here you go, Howard. Here you go. Here's a bunch of R's you can vote for. Count on us. Yeah, that's going to change everything. Well, maybe we need a woman in office. Who thinks that? Anyone? Do we need a woman in office? Do we need more women in office? Well, we can't say that we can vote all women, but there are some very, very smart women out there that are not getting enough recognition. Rebecca Sive, writer at the Huffington Post, be joining me next on election night. And we're going to be speaking to her about, is there enough women joining Congress? And what women we should be looking for tonight. Don't get behind. Election night. Be right back. Call Yo Andrew. That's me right now at 646-564-9929.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrewnts.com/interviews.
There's a rule of thumb that the customer always comes first. But somehow with banks, the customer always comes second or third. But at Capital One, we're different. We believe that you come first. Shocking, no? So our 360 checking has things like no fees and no minimum balances, fee-free ATMs nationwide. It even pays interest. What are we thinking? Well, about you. 360 checking from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Visit CapitalOne360.com to learn more. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC.
And now another smash hit from Flo. Progressive Mobile is always with you, like an invisible friend named Mary Jo.
With Progressive Mobile, you can buy and manage your policy from your phone. Yeah, it goes wherever you go, like an invisible friend named Mary Jo. Ooh, yeah, well, don't call her Mary, don't call her Jo. Her name is Mary Jo, and she's invisible.
Progressive Mobile. Insurance made easy. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
At Walgreens, we know the best time for a cold is never. That's why we're right around the corner to help you get the right relief right away. Like Mucinex Fast Max, powerful relief from your worst cold and flu symptoms. So when there's no time for a cold, swing by Walgreens to get in, out, and feeling better fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us on and off the air with this address. yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com.
Many ask what it is. Many ask where is a cure. Sadly, it's not easy. Endometriosis is a non-fatal cancer-like disease affecting 176 million women around the world that need your help. That's why Knockout Endo, an organization seeking nonprofit status, is continuing to fundraise and raise awareness for women with endometriosis. Check out our website, www.knockoutendo.com, to learn what we're doing to defeat this disease every day. Being informed will help you understand why donating is so important. You can help by purchasing items from our website or funding more commercials like these. Don't sit down, but get up to knock out endometriosis.
Girls do run the world. I put my hands up for that. Women are so, how do I say it, important. Just like men are when it comes to politics. But women are not getting enough recognition because there aren't many women running. Why is that? Why isn't enough women running? We see many women who you might hate or you might like, but they're taking the throne and they're getting things done. Nancy Pelosi and many more women in Congress are going out and doing that. Joining me on my program to give us some insight on where the women are on election night, because they're out there and they're here. And they want to tell you what's up. She's a lecturer at Chicago Harris School of Public Policy, University of Chicago, former member of the Illinois Rights Commission, corporate executive, and foundation director. She's also the author. She also is the author of the book Every Day's Election Day, A Woman's Guide to Winning Any Office, from the PTA to the White House. She also, Huffington Post writer, Woman and Politics for the Huffington Post. Rebecca Sive is on my phone line. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
I want to begin with the conversation of women's involvement in Congress, because that's what is going on throughout the night tonight. We see the House is changing, and we see the Senate might change too. And like I already mentioned, there are some great women who some agree with, some don't agree with, who are taking huge roles in Congress. Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz are just some of them. But many say not many women are taking these big roles that men usually take. Is that true?
Well, I think you're right that, women right now are just about 19% of the total members of Congress in the House and the Senate. But I think that tonight's election, I think, will yield some new people in Congress. And I think the important thing, the important thing to focus on is that, you know, the opportunity for women to participate in public office, certainly at the congressional level, is relatively recent. You know, there have been women in Congress since women had the right to vote, but really not any significant numbers until the last several decades. So, you know, it's a gradual process. Some of us wish it would happen a lot sooner, but I think you're already seeing, as you mentioned, you know, the impact that women are making, and there's more to come. I have no doubt about that.
Throughout Election Day tonight, what are some women who are running for Congress, and we do see results starting to come in, what are some women you believe we should be looking into, start reading about, maybe following them throughout the next year or two?
Well, good question. I think that, you know, there are, I think, 15 women running for the Senate, 10 Democrats and 5 Republicans. You know, on the incumbent side, women to watch, definitely, these are really big races, are Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, Kay Hagan in North Carolina, Jean Shaheen in New Hampshire. And then in Iowa, Joni Ernst, that's a very big race. If they elect her, that will be the first time a woman has been elected to any congressional office from the state of Iowa. And also Michelle Nunn in Georgia, Amanda Curtis in Montana. So there are a bunch of women who are, you know, doing their level best to win, and I think that any one and all of them are worth following. You know, one of the things that's important that happens is that the women have a bipartisan caucus, both in the House and in the Senate, and what that means is that they meet regularly, they identify issues and pieces of legislation they can work on together. Last year, you may recall, it was the women senators led by Senator Collins from Maine who came together to broker a budget deal and break that logjam. So I would say to your listeners, watch any and all of them. They are all, to a one, smart people.
If women are showing America how it's so easy to work together from both sides, it's easy to come once in a while and actually create a solution for this issue and for this policy and for this crisis, why aren't the men following them?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about America's, the U.S. voting patterns, is that women vote in higher numbers than men, and more women than men register to vote. So, you know, for some reason, men are not continuing to believe that their vote really matters when, of course, it does. So I think that what we need to do on days like today and every day is just to say to every person, the vote is a precious thing, and you should avail yourself of it every chance you have.
Right now we are speaking with Rebecca Sive. She is a lecturer at Chicago Harris School of Public Policy, University of Chicago, former member of the Illinois Human Rights Commission, corporate executive and foundation director, and author of Every Day is Election Day, A Woman's Guide to Winning Any Office from the PTA to the White House. Also, she writes a column for the Huffington Post, Woman and Politics. Rebecca, when you wrote this book, and the book, I'll say it again, it's called A Woman's Guide to Winning Any Office from the PTA to the White House, what was the reason for you to create a guide for many women who want to enter political office, or even the smallest offices in their,
yeah,
in their community?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I felt that the time was right. You know, after Hillary Clinton ran for the presidency in 2008, you know, people talked about the 18 million cracks in the glass ceiling, and it was clear to everybody, regardless of their political perspective, that, you know, political life as we've known it has changed, and that women had a role to play and roles to play that we hadn't had. And along with that, there was a lot of, there are a lot of women who are expert on running for office and getting appointed to office and running campaigns, and a lot of women who want to do it. And so I felt that a guidebook would be useful for that purpose, that there are several generations of women. There's a young woman, for instance, running for Congress in upstate New York. Her name slips my mind right now. but I think she's in her 20s. So, you know, there are any number of women who want to run for office. And so I thought having this kind of a book that talked honestly and frankly about what it takes would be useful.
What are some strategies that you wrote in this book that really helped many women so far reach their highest potential from Congress to maybe even the White House in 2016?
Well, the way I organized the book was by there are 35 or so chapters, and each chapter focuses on a different aspect of campaigning and I should say both running for elected office and getting appointed, because of course appointed offices are political as well. So there's, you know, a chapter on fundraising, on media, on recovering from loss, on, you know, how do you balance all your responsibilities, building a brand, building a message. So the book lays out a whole series of, so to speak, sets of advice about how to go about this. And then interwoven with those, with that advice are the stories from women I interviewed, for the most part, on what they did and how they did it and what it really felt like. And so the idea there is to give a real life sense to people about, to women, about what they might expect, really regardless of what level office they're seeking. Obviously, the higher up you go, the more intense it becomes. But the sort of basic structure of the thing is constant at each level.
When you spoke to many women, Rebecca, was money ever a part of the story? Because we see it more and more in every presidential election. It tends to be more and more expensive. And it kind of creates this conclusion that the only way for you to be the next president, if it's President Obama or Mitt Romney or President W. Bush, you need money. I mean, have you seen stories of these women telling you, well, you need money? Or some of these women got there with not that much money, and that wasn't even important to them.
I think that you're right that the capacity and the willingness to raise money is vital to anyone who wants to run for elected office. Obviously, the amounts vary enormously. It seems to have gotten more expensive now than it's ever been. There are a variety of reasons for that. So actually, I think the chapter in my book about fundraising is maybe the second longest chapter. And I really talk in there about, you know, developing the right sort of frame of mind, that what you're talking about when you go to someone and ask them to give to your campaign is about furthering a cause, furthering an agenda, pursuing legislation that's important that you feel you can undertake. And I also talk a lot there about being willing to go to friends and colleagues, because, of course, those are the first circle. You know, if you're selling Girl Scout cookies, that's what you do, right? So a lot of this is recognizing that fundraising is important, but as difficult as it may appear, it's also education, because then when you're talking to people about why you need to raise the money, you're making your case about why you should be elected.
Right now we're speaking with Rebecca Sive. She's a lecturer of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy, University of Chicago, former member of the Illinois Human Rights Commission, corporate executive and foundation director, and the author of Every Day is Election Day, A Woman's Guide to Winning Any Office from the PTA to the White House. Let's look at that title. Every Day is Election Day, A Woman's Guide to Winning Any Office from the PTA to the White House. When you say every day is Election Day, are you trying to say that every day is a struggle for women? You know, even though we see women have had rights since, you know, the early 1920s, and we've seen that as years go on, women now become more accepted. We see more issues coming out each presidential election. Are you still trying to say that it is still a struggle for women? It is still sort of to enter the office or get your issue out there.
Well, I think you're right that there are significant barriers that remain. There is still, you know, pay inequity. But really the meaning of the title was not so much related to that as to the idea, which I view as a positive, which is that every day, for that matter, for men or for women, every day you have the opportunity, I have the opportunity to make my case, right? To say this is something I want to achieve today and go ahead and achieve it, so to speak, to get elected, to get it done. And what that means is that in the context of political campaigns, that you really have to be smart about every day. You can't just sort of slide into it. You know, you have to be proactive and have a plan and be willing to execute it. And, you know, for instance, I have a chapter where I wrote about Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, and I just sort of drew out for the readers, you know, how she has thought about, you know, how she thought about becoming a senator by the time she was in her mid-40s. Now, you may win or you may lose, but you got to have a plan.
And it's also about what you actually want to do. You know, it doesn't matter about what color or what sex. It's all about what you're going to do for the American people. And that's what's always been about. But some of us have forgotten that. But I think many women are starting to come up and realize, well, if we have to start, we might as well start with us, right?
I think that's right. You know, it's funny that this, I had a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today, and she told me that she had just decided to run for the school board in her town. She's a mom. She's got two teenagers, and she just decided that, you know, she wants the schools to remain as good as they can possibly be, and that she can be helpful in that process. So I think you're right that women, like men, are looking at these public offices and saying, you know, is there something I can do here to improve my community, to make my neighborhood better, you know, to make things more equal and fair?
Right now we are speaking with Rebecca Sive, and she's a lecturer at Chicago Harris School of Public Policy, University of Chicago, former member of the Illinois Human Rights Commission, corporate executive and foundation director, and author of Every Day's Election Day, A Woman's Guide to Winning Any Office from the PTA to the White House. Also, read her column on Women in Politics for the Huffington Post. Rebecca, I know it's a busy night, but we really thank you for coming on and giving us so much information on what woman is doing. And I think many of us now have a better understanding on where woman is in politics and how they're making it better.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and have a wonderful Election Day night.
Yes, and you too, Rebecca.
If anyone hasn't voted yet, remind them to vote.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. Have a good one, Rebecca. Thank you. So when we come back on the program, Catherine Steyer, awarded and honored for her children's book, If I Were President, If I Ran for President, and today on Election Day, will be joining us the top of the next hour. And we're continuing this election night, trying to give as much coverage to you as possible, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability. Don't get behind. Follow me on Twitter. Republicans trying to take it, and we'll also win for the New York governor's race. Close soon.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show, every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com. Yo Andrew News Talk Show, every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com. Tweeting is not a new trend. How about Tweet Yo Andrew on the air and off the air at Andrew Tweet Geo.
It's amazing how the world has changed in just several years, especially how we try to figure out who someone is. I know how it is. I'm a radio host, an entrepreneur, and my goal every day is to inform people, but also tell them a little bit about me. Before they go on this program or before they even listen, the first place they want to go to is your website. And that's why we have www.yoandrewnts.com. We made it so simple to navigate and so easy to look at from your mobile device or from your laptop or tablet. You'll be able to hear who we are, read what we've done the past few years, and even listen to interviews. And you can download it right to your phone or computer and listen anytime you want. That's our gift to you. So what are you waiting for? www.yoandrewnts.com is active from about anywhere, and you're able to view, listen, and be a part of the program today.
He always wanted to be a Rush Hour Renegade.
Hello, San Francisco. We're the Rush Hour Renegades. I'm Joey Gladstone. This is my partner, Jesse Katsopoulos. Say hi, Jess.
24 years later, he settles for Yo Andrew.
Rush Hour Renegades! Come on at ya!